And welcome to the world premiere of Lead Through Love with Heartwoman Judith. I'm going to bring her on in a second. I just want to let you know that I know a lot of people have technology errors, and I've had already a user error this morning, me. And when I went to go live, we had a technology error. So bear with me if we have any issues. And thank you to Ronald for being here on time and early. So now, let's not wait any longer. Let's bring our guest of honor, Judith Heartwoman. We're special friends, so I call her Judith. Welcome.
Thank you, Michelle. Here we are, finally.
Absolutely. And we are here to talk about Lead Through Love. And I think you and I have probably been talking about this topic for about 3 years.
More.
Yeah. Ever since we've known each other, right?
Since the pandemic started, yes.
Yes. We met on LinkedIn and we keep in contact daily. And I think we just have so much in common of what we want to give and see in the world, right?
Absolutely.
So I do want to share that. First of all, if you are not connected or do not follow Judith, you need to do so. She is on LinkedIn. She is on Facebook. And anywhere else you want people to follow? Oh, she started a new YouTube channel.
Absolutely. But mainly LinkedIn and YouTube is where you will find me and where I will love to interact. So
awesome. And it's great to see people coming in. And please do let us know where you are joining us. We are expecting a great international audience today. So we would love to see how we are making an impact on the world today. One of the things that I wanted to discuss today was, of course, Lead Through Love is our main topic. But if you go to Judith's LinkedIn profile, she does have featured is her master's thesis. And I printed it because I like paper copies.
Awesome.
And yes. And I have highlights in it. This is filled with great stuff. And this is the basis of what we're going to talk about today. And I know Judith would love comments, questions, everything you have. Feedback is always welcome. And I really want to dive into your story. What is the background? Why and how did you come up with Lead Through Love?
First, I want to say hi to our guests who are here and also emphasize that there are heart men, Ronald and already here as well, others. So happy to see you. So the story goes actually quite far to my early adulthood or even nearly adulthood. When I was making this final work for school about different hotel chains marketing strategies, and I found Marriott International Hotel Chain, and it was one of the hotel chains. The other two were Finnish ones, and I got to go to Newport Marriott in the United States in 1998, and I found out what the founder says is this the key to success for Marriott. And he says that when you put your employees first, when you take care of your employees, they will take care of you. And the same, it ringed bell already. I had already been doing some work, some summer works up to that time. So I had been experiencing different kind of leadership and the atmospheres in companies or organizations. And it was odd for me that when you go to work somewhere, you lose your voice. You lose your kind of the worth. And it was odd because when I was young, I was raised with unconditional love by my parents. And since very little kids, we were allowed to tell our opinion. And now entering the work life, this suddenly disappeared. And this is the problem still today. And so this is something that I felt that to put people first is the way to go. And it still bothers me. And it has like inspired me since those times that we should do better. Your worth as a person and your voice shouldn't be something that is taken out when you get paid by someone.
I love that. Your voice should not be taken out. Your worth as a person should not be taken out because you get paid. Love that quote. Love that, Judith. So I think that's someplace that we definitely see eye to eye, right? The value of the person for who they are, their individual and unique talents, how they were created. Because a lot of times people, I like to think I raised my kids with unconditional love, but believe me, I know what I would do differently after having raised them. Is we all want the best, and the best is what we think is the best for the other person, is not always what's truly the best for the other person, because it may not be what their unique talents and skills are. And that, I think, is one of the reasons why they get lost in the workplace, because we're telling people you need to do it this way. Even in schools, right? You got to math. You have to do it this way. It doesn't matter if you have the same answer and maybe get it quicker. If you're not doing it this way, you're doing it wrong. Who cares if you're doing 99% of the stuff excellent, better? You're doing one thing kind of wrong. Fix it, right?
Absolutely. And how to motivate people. And I can also, since we are talking about school and math, I can share something from the early years, probably from first or second grade, when in Finland we are 7 and 8 years old. So I used to be very good in math. So we got the paper full of tasks and we were supposed to solve the problems, get the results. And I was able to do it fast, and it gave me this feeling of accomplishment. And what was the reward?
More work?
Math tasks. So it's like it's already there in very small things that we can discourage people.
Right.
So you can imagine that I didn't want to do, like I had no desire to hurry.
Right.
With the tasks after that experience.
Right. You're learning to not perform. You're learning not to be your best. Absolutely. So can you talk a little bit more about how your thesis came about and how Lead Through Love developed the process?
Absolutely. So in the beginning, it really was the thought for decades almost. It was the thought to put people first and to care about people and enable them to be their best. But it actually turned into love when I was applying for MBA in International Business Management in early 2018. And we had common interest with Basen Corporation about the leadership style. And there is Corinna Maywald, CMO, who is very dear to me. And they wanted to cooperate with me for the thesis. And I actually found from the CEO, Pasi Hurri, giving statements about love, how important factor it is for success and that people will give their best. So I came to the idea that I want to find out what love has to do with leadership. So that's where the love word came out. And also that's when I started to examine, are there materials about love leadership? Are there thought leaders and so forth? So that's where it came as deep as to love.
Awesome.
And I love it. And I love it. And the actual name for the thesis was what's love got to do with the leadership in the beginning. But the PhD, the master's thesis mentor, he's actually suggested the lead through love. And with a little bit of hesitation at that moment, I accepted. And I think it was great shift.
Yeah, I think you told me that before what the original title was. Had I remembered, I would probably make you sing, right? What's love got to do with it?
It should be always playing here when I enter.
Ooh, next time. Yeah.
So, I hope we are not losing people now.
Only one. Yeah. So, I mean, since I've known you, I think that this love leadership, lead through love, is really at your core of who you are. It is a personal mission for you, correct?
Absolutely. It is about, and it doesn't only apply to the work life. If you follow me, you will also realize that I talk about healthy self-esteem because it has to do, well, with personal happiness, first of all, but also with the leadership. If you are not healthy, if you do not have healthy self-esteem as a leader, you cannot raise new leaders because you will be jealous and you want to make sure that they don't shine brighter than you. And so it has to do with the self-esteem and seeing yourself valuable, no matter who you are, no matter what your position in workplaces, or even if you're unemployed, you are valued. You are like you as a coach teach us to understand our unique values and what we can bring and how we are all needed. That's it goes with lead through love. It goes with the family. It goes with all the interactions of life.
Right. Because as a person, we are a whole person. We're not these separate entities, right? We're not just work. We're not just a mother, a wife, a spouse. Wife, spouse, same thing. grandmother, grandfather, husband, right? CEO, secretary, board. We're not our titles in any area of our life. We're a whole person. The titles are what we do, not who we are. And I think that in my opinion, in work, there's more focus on the title and maybe specific tasks versus who the person is and how the company benefits from them as a whole.
Absolutely. And this is something that I also see. I've worked not only in multiple workplaces in Finland 10, since I've also been at some point doing gigs, but or like working on gigs for different events and different companies. But also I worked abroad in Disneyland Paris, for example, in New York, and also studied different places. So I've seen lots. So it's really that you can see how people are. They are not even often led, if we are honest. They are just given tasks and not even thought what their potential is, or seeing if they are not in higher level, like if they are not managers, they are not often even heard. Mm-hmm. no matter what is said in the company statements, but their value really isn't shown in their daily work life.
Right. A lot of times they're treated as replaceable. They're not paid well, like I said, not appreciated. But when it really comes down to it in companies, from the bottom to the top is really where the importance lies, because the people who are actually interacting with the customers or creating the products are really running the company, right? Without them, there would be no company. They're really more valuable than we treat them.
Absolutely.
And as far as management style, I know you talk about fear-based leadership, using sticks instead of carrots, right? So people are micromanaged. They're just treated poorly, like they're not worth. Can you describe some of the experiences throughout your vast work history, some of the things that you've seen that may have been surprising?
There always are surprises. I can tell people come to me to share about their experiences, and often they are not very good ones. And I see that even today, Finland is voted as the happiest country of the world, I think, sixth time in a row now. So you would think that our leadership here is amazing. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, it's amazing compared to many other countries, but there's so much to improve. There's so much still the using stick as a punishment, mm-hmm. abusing the role of a manager, and devaluing the persons. Like I said, when you go to the work, you lose your voice. Mm-hmm. And you lose your worth. And this is still happening today. I've heard some awful examples just a couple days ago from here, how someone who is above as a title is telling someone who is experienced, skilled, educated, highly educated, a wonderful, wonderful person, is just in a way put down, diminished, and shamed, because the other person can spot something in this person's work that you know he can spot. He can say because of the title.
Yeah.
Like there's the respect. Love means respect, care, also. And trust, and there is all that missing.
Yes, I know. I go back to something in a company, an organization that I had worked at, and one of the people, we use the term leadership. I think management is really more appropriate, because there's not leadership. There's just somebody telling you what to do. They manage you. Yeah. Anyway, this young lady was hired as in a receptionist position, part-time enough that she couldn't get benefits, and was told by a person in management that she needed to be available when they needed her to come in case they were short-handed all the time. Mind you, she was getting paid very little. And when another position opened up and she applied, she interviewed, they would not give her the other position. But when they needed somebody to cover for that position, they were calling her, wanting her to come in. So she was good enough to cover, but not good enough to be treated with dignity and respect.
Or with money.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and sometimes, well, I think a lot of times, employees will stay or go to places with less money if they are valued. Yeah.
The worth, the feeling your worth mm-hmm. is so crucial. And I feel that many people also in their workplaces, they have used to it. Like even for myself, I used to have relatively good self-esteem, but I also entered toxic workplaces where I had to deal with the same things that I am teaching and actually had to make my way out of the mindset. But it's interesting how the fear-based leadership, when someone else can hold your bread, so they can impact your pay. They can make you feel that, you know, we can kick you out any time. Yes. And give you so many tasks just because they can, that you in no human way shouldn't be even managing those. But because of the title or the being top of you gives them kind of the permission. Many people, so they abuse it so much. But the thing, and what I want to also teach truly, true love, is that know your worth and get the heck out of the bad workplaces. If you have tried to change, improve, do your everything, don't settle. You are worth it wherever you are. You are worth better, and also show it doesn't matter what kind of position, you should be treated with love, and also remember to treat others with love and respect.
Yes. And I think also it is important to note that sometimes people can't just up and leave a workplace because of financial reasons or job market, whatever is going on. But you just said, you do need to know your worth, and you can practice lead through love at any level in an organization to help implement and to spark change in that organization. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And I do it all the time. And I can see, like, sometimes it's so interesting when I meet people who have been treated so poorly, when they get to talk about their situation and when they get to experience that someone cares. Like someone even gave me note somewhere, like written note, personal note that you know, I was asking like, how is your day or something. I don't know, did I notice that there wasn't the smile on someone? And I checked and I listened. And afterwards, I got this nice personal note telling that the person, she had not read the Lead Through Love, but now she knows what love leadership is all about.
Yeah, that's a great impact. Yeah, that's a great example. I'm going to put Ronald's comment back up that he said earlier, right? Saying hello to a cashier can shock them back to being more than performing a task or service, right? You're that's making them feel valued. So I'm going to bring up the fact that my father is in the hospital, and my sisters and I are taking turns being there to ensure he's getting the level of care that he needs. As we know, our healthcare workers are all overworked and they're shorthanded, but they can't always be there. So, of course, patients need advocates. That means whenever something is wrong, as humans, we're quick to point it out. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. Wait till I tell your manager, right? So we're trying to make a point to let the staff know who are doing something really well, that they're doing something really well right there on the spot. Oh. My dad had made a comment to me about an aide who had helped him. And he's hard of hearing. So that's a whole other issue. But I did stop the assistant and told her, thank you. My father said you did a wonderful job. The smile on her face, you know they don't get that. You know they only get told what they missed. So taking the time to truly appreciate people, even for little things, will make a difference and help to spark the Lead Through Love mission.
Absolutely.
So, there's so leave much
true love. Oh, I love leave it.
Ooh, that, Ronald, that's golden. I think Judith's going to have another hashtag to use when she's giving examples, right?
Of bad or things. Ronald will start new brand with that. Also.
Follow up.
We're gonna cooperate with Lead True Love and Live True Love.
So we talked about kind of how you got here. We talked about some bad experiences. We're limited on time because I think we could talk for hours and hours. I don't know that everybody would hang around, but I would stay. Anyway. So I do want to know, give us some more examples of things you have seen in the workplace where you've seen Lead Through Love in action, even if the people didn't realize that they were leading through love.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's the encouragement. It's giving freedom. Even for me, I've experienced Lead Through Love, and I'm experiencing it right now. It's something that your leader sees you as a competent person who trusts you, who motivates you, who finds your passion. And that also is something that you should be led to a right position and to do the things that actually inspire you. So it goes so long when you start leading through love. It taps the whole organization. And instead of keeping people down and in their places and doing whatever their top management wants them to do day after day or how they are wanted to do, you will be doing things that the way that you can actually impact how you do them, how much you spend time. But what your leader is more interested about is the result. And you really can see it through the motivation. Even when you have, like right now in this world, there are so tough times. It's dark. Sometimes the hope, even in companies, we may feel fearful about the future, about our families, even about our countries. And that kind of overshadows things. But when you are empowered and you are rewarded and you are told that you are trusted and also verbally told that you do great and also steered to the right direction, like, okay, we see you are great in this. So let's emphasize. If someone is good singing, you don't make him or her to build, for example, motors. But you make sure that you will find them opportunities to sing. So whatever it is with Lead Through Love, it's about the right kind of caring leadership with healthy people, healthy leaders. Did this fill in your question?
Yes. And actually, one of the words I was waiting for you to use, of course you used, was the T word, trust, right? So if somebody is hiring you to do a job and they have to micromanage you, then to me, there's a couple of reasons. They don't trust you or they have issues with their own abilities. Either they are not competent, so they think other people aren't competent, or they're afraid you're going to take their job because you do it better than them. Don't worry about it. Do the best you can. So absolutely, all of those things when we're looking at leadership versus management. Management, I think, is a title. Leadership is, well, it's a way of leading, right? Especially absolutely. When we're talking about lead through love. And again, you can do that on any level. Even when you're being micromanaged, you can respond back to that person in a loving, kind way. It may take you a while, to figure out the right way to do it. But don't let other people determine how you respond. If they're being nasty to you, you do not have to be nasty back. In fact, it's better that you don't. It'll make the environment better.
I would also add about the human imperfections.
Yes.
That if you as a leader don't feel competent, or if you, or even as an employee, if you don't feel competent, or if you see, if you realize that you are jealous to others, try to figure out why is that.
Yeah.
And then find the ways to understand that you are not competing, because you are a totally different person. That's something even, I think, I don't know if it's sometimes more female feature to be jealous.
Yeah, I do want to highlight, and it's going to block half of you, did. That's why I took it back down. It's a long comment from Luke, and we appreciate you sharing this with us. He used to work in a toxic organization that lost 7 out of 15 staff in his department in less than 2 years. You know, the sad thing is, when that happens in a company, they figure it's turnover. If they're not paying well, which it looks like they weren't in this situation, they just hire a new body. Number one, they will not get quality work. Number two, it increased the cost in the company because it is cheaper to retain and invest in an employee than to keep hiring new people. Sadly, especially in Texas, they think it's just easier to replace people. I'm glad you found a better job to work at. It's great that you're making a lot more money, and I hope that your mental health and your self-worth are so much better for it, and that you are living love leadership where you work.
I love that. I loved hearing that. And also for me, I like to use these experiences as something where I have learned from. So if you have these kind of bad experiences in your past or right now, think about how you can utilize them in your life and turn them into strengths and without resentment, because it's so important that your heart is clean and pure.
Yes. And I think also a lot of people who allow themselves to be treated poorly at work is because they don't know their own value. So it's important, if you're in that position, to really get to know yourself and the value you have, learn your talents and skills. What you have is valuable. Just because your employer doesn't value it, because they don't know either, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. You are valuable.
Exactly. And also to the Luke's comment, I would add that in fear-based led companies, it's also that the truth gets hidden. Because the people who are leading, they use their authority, and you have to agree with them. And they will also only promote people who will say yes, 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 and who will also treat people the same way. So that's one of the reasons why Lead Through Love has to go to the top management. So if there are people today who are listening and you are in top management of the organizations, let's talk.
And which is a great place to bring in how we want to talk about how do we implement Lead Through Love. I know that although your master's thesis has been out and this is part of you, you're still developing a process, but I know you have some great ideas on how to work with people. What kinds of things can they do? Do they just reach out to you to spark a conversation? What would you recommend for people who are interested, or anybody who wants to recommend it to their management team to look into Lead Through Love to get it implemented? What can they do?
Well, first of all, I would say that let's start from the connecting. So start following not only me, but also Michelle, because Michelle brings so much content about the personal development and about the self-worth and how you develop your skills. So I want to also take that into the discussion. So then you can read that material, Lead Through Love Master's Thesis. That's available. So that already states many things that are either fear-based leadership matters or love leadership matters. So from there, you can also get some hints where to start. It's not very long opus. So just a few hours and you will have some knowledge, base knowledge. And of course, I'm willing to come to train your people, but if it's larger company and overall in the companies, this should start from the top management so that that they set the pace, the style for the leadership in the organization. And it doesn't take me long time to talk with people and tap into the feeling how people are treated. And often, sometimes the leaders do not even realize that they are doing something wrong. So this is one of the things that just start getting familiar with the materials of what fear-based leadership is and what love leadership is. So that already can little bit start opening your eyes to the matter. But for surely contact me and let's see how I can help you. But I do have my daily job at base, and so some of the lucky ones may be the ones who can contact and who I can work with, and also of course equip leaders and teach them to take it on. But it starts from the top management, then it's most effective.
Yeah, that old trickle down theory, right? And practice what you preach, right? So they have to see it, they need to hear it, they need to see it. Sometimes the company may need to go back and review their mission and vision statements. A lot of times they're really good, but the companies don't live them. They just post them places, right? I've seen it. We treat everyone with dignity and respect. Really? I don't see that.
We have finished saying many cake is beautiful on the cover, on its surface. And that's many companies promote their organizational culture. But then when you talk with the people, they are burned out. They are eating antidepressants. Oh. They are sad. These people talk to me.
Yeah.
And we all know so many examples of this. And in healthy organizations, shouldn't be even one person who is struggling with mental health.
Right. Definitely. So I do want to point out again, I want to go back to the thesis, because you just said that's a great starting point. And she does also have a lot of great content on LinkedIn. She's got videos, she's got posts that you can learn from. Please check them out. And she's starting a new YouTube channel that will start having stuff. So subscribe, but be patient. And I do want to show you, because as I started rereading her thesis in preparation for today, there is so much good stuff in here. And she cites sources. So you can even take what she has and go further into other sources.
Absolutely.
If you need statistics and numbers to take back to somebody in the company, it's all there. Gallup is a great resource for employee engagement. When employees are disengaged, we focus on what we see of good when it comes to how we judge ourselves, right? For everybody else, we look at what's wrong. So, right? So when we're looking at the company, they're like, oh, woohoo, we have, let's see, I think they said it's like 32% of employees are engaged in 2022. It's dropping every year, but 18% are disengaged. That is the number you need to look at. I have been a disengaged employee. Now that I'm educated on it, I try to keep myself in check. But you want to know what disengaged employees do? They tear your company down.
Yeah, actively disengaged.
Yes, actively disengaged. Yeah.
Because 80% or 60-70% are not engaged.
Right.
There's engaged, not engaged.
And actively, then
actively disengaged. These are the ones that will rip your company apart.
Yes. Thank you for correcting me. But yes, so they will talk to other employees, point out what's wrong. So when it comes down to it, sometimes some of those people need to be let go, because you do have your people who are just negative, who are just unhappy, or sometimes, you know, they weren't quite honest on their skills and you hired them and they can't do the job and they're angry at you. But that needs to be, definitely needs to be addressed. Again, all this stuff is in Judith's thesis. She's, like I said, she cited sources. It's very in depth. So please do take a look at that and share that with other people who can make decisions and make changes in your company. And if it's you, read it.
Absolutely. And I would also mention about this actively disengaged employees, what they can do. So let's think about, I for some reason like to refer to the factories. If there's someone, let's say, assembling your motors or whatever, and they realize that there's something wrong, there are seals broken, they see that some of the parts that should go into the motor are flawed. But what do they do if they are actively disengaged? They close their eyes and they'll do it, and they let the company and the customer to suffer. And even there, they can harm their own workplace to that as well. So they harm everything because they are so unhappy. And often there are reasons for that. They haven't been treated well. So they start to be very resentful, and they don't have necessarily in their moral background or value how they have been brought up. There is no people encouraging them to, you know, do better, despite, like what you said, you can still treat or respond people kindly or better. You don't have to do the same, because we are always only responsible for our own actions. So no matter what others do, it really doesn't matter. You don't have to care anyone else's but how you act, how you treat people.
Right. So I do want to mention, you know, even though we've said so, there is a free gift today. And the free gift is the thesis. Go get it. It's free. You can print it. I did it. It's wonderful. Awesome. Plus all the great information that was shared today. I appreciate all of the comments, and we'll get back to each of you. I know Luke's got a little bit more to his story. So I think we'll probably both respond to him.
There's some of the love leaders here also, John Doherty and Deanna McNeil. So warm greetings to you. Also, there are great, great men and women on LinkedIn also who really also spread the love leadership message.
Yeah. So again, we don't want to take up too much of your time. Again, like I said, I could talk for hours. I know you could talk more, but we absolutely appreciate everyone coming and sharing their thoughts. And if you have any other questions about Lead Through Love and how to implement it, please do reach out to Judith and feel free to ask her questions. I'm not going to give you her personal cell phone number yet, but you know, maybe you can bribe me. I don't know.
You shall know.
Anyhow, like she said, LinkedIn is a great place to get a hold of her. She is very active on LinkedIn. And I just lost my train of thought. Of course. And I know that a lot of people who wanted to come today couldn't because life happens. So please do share. And if you're watching on the replay, please do hashtag replay so we know how far it gets out. And by sharing this message, it will help spread Lead Through Love in the world. We need it. The world needs it.
And today I also want to send my love, Michelle, to your family, to your dad especially. And also, I know that my parents should be watching this and some of my brothers. So love to the family. Thank you for all this support throughout the years. And also, Michelle Gunn, thank you so much for all the Lead Through Love support throughout this over 3 years already.
Yes. And, you know, it would be remiss if I didn't say thank you to your parents for creating you. The world is a better place because of it, right?
And more when we all take Lead Through Love ahead together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Is there anything else that you want to add before we bid adieu on this Saturday?
I'll go through the comments after this one. I wanted to really engage with the discussion with you, mm-hmm. Michelle, but I'll check the comments and please send me connection requests if you want, and then send me direct messages. And just know your worth. Just know that whoever you are listening there today, that you are worth to be treated well. You are worth to be treated with love. So yes. don't let anyone to lead you any other way poorly anymore.
Yes. And Luke. Yeah. And Luke, the thesis is featured on Judith's profile on LinkedIn, but I will get the link and drop it in the comments for easy sharing for everyone. So thank you for that. And thank you, Ron, for the best wishes and everyone for being here. Especially thank you for my dear friend from Finland for sharing this topic that I've been dying to scream from the mountaintops. So the world needs Lead Through Love. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.